Book of Daniel, turn there, Book of Daniel. Speaking of Spring Lake, Brother John Chapman's, both of his parents are very bad off right now. His father, they're not expecting him to be around much longer. And even his mother also is not doing well. They're both, I know his father's in his 90s. Is his mother in her 90s yet? Close to it, I'm sure. John and I are the same age. All right, the book of Daniel. Now, this book, this is the next book in our study of what our Lord preached. It's so full of Christ, the whole book of Daniel. We're going to just browse through the whole thing. Daniel himself is a wonderful type of Christ. We've looked at him before. And I've broken this up into four headings. I call it the four Gospels of Daniel. The first is Christ in Daniel. The man Daniel represents our Lord. And then Christ in the furnace. And then Christ in the lion's den. Mm-hmm. And then Christ in prophecy throughout the book of Daniel. Christ in Daniel. All right, look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel, now the name Daniel means judge of God. That is, God sent Daniel to be a judge and a revealer of things. And he was a ruler in Babylon at the time. And our Lord reigns and rules, but he's the judge. All judgments committed unto him. But Daniel was a man, it says, without blemish. Verse 4. Speaking of him and his three brethren, children in whom was no blemish, well favored, skillful in wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding. Verse 6, among these were the children of Judah. They were of the tribe of Judah, as our Lord. Tribe of Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then verse 8 says, Daniel, a man of without blemish, like our Lord, Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. Scripture says of our Lord that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Now you know that Daniel was just a man. Daniel was a sinful man. Daniel was saved by grace. But you will not find any faults with Daniel. God writes down no sins or thoughts or any faults of Daniel. Why is that? Because he's such a clear type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel. And what don't you love Daniel? You think about Daniel. A lovely man. God said so. The angel of the Lord came to him in chapter 10 and said, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Mm-hmm. You know anybody else that's greatly beloved? Well, our Lord is. You know what? You are too. Mm-hmm. If you're in him. The man of great knowledge and wisdom, chapter 1, verse 17. These four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel, he was the chief. Daniel, he made Daniel understand all things, all visions, dreams, all things. This man knew all things, what God said. Why? Because he's a type of Christ who does know all things. All in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, our Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel was a revealer of secrets. Chapter 2, verse 11. Now, this king, Nebuchadnezzar, who he represents Satan, actually. However, I believe the Lord saved Nebuchadnezzar later. I believe he saved Darius. But anyway, in some ways he represents the God of this world. He raised himself up in pride and God cast Nebuchadnezzar down. But anyway, this king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he told his sorcerers and magicians and astrologers. That's significant, isn't it? Isaiah 8 talks about wizards that peeping wizards and people that consult the stars and astronomy and, you know, astrology and magic and all of that. They don't consult God. They don't know anything. But he told his astrologers and magicians and sorcerers and all that, he said, tell me what my dream means or I'll kill you. And they said, well, okay, tell us what the dream is. He said, I forgot. He said, now tell me what I forgot and tell me the meaning of it. In other words, and they said, no man, verse 11 says, no man, is none but the gods can tell what's in a person's heart and mind and tell things to end from the beginning and things that are unknown. Only the gods can do that. Well, Daniel did. God gave him this understanding of mysteries and revealer of secrets. And down in verse 23, Daniel said, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father, who has given me wisdom and might and made known unto me now what I desire of thee. He made known unto us, the king of Babylon. So God gave Daniel this understanding of everything in the man's heart and mind, his dreams, and he told it. That reminded me of when our Lord stopped. You remember the Pharisees didn't understand his parable. And he stopped and gave thanks. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. It's just like what our Lord said. Daniel's such a type of Christ. He's a revealer of secrets, as I said. Now listen to Romans 2. This is what Paul said. In the day, there's coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So our Lord is the great revealer of hearts and minds and secrets, and all secrets are made known by him and in him. He is in him with all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All right, now Christ in the furnace. Look at chapter 3. Don't you love this story? Christ in the furnace. This is the story, you know, of the three Hebrew children that were cast into the burning, fiery furnace. It begins with a king making a golden image. If you heard the message on the radio this morning, I hope you did. That's why I put it there, knowing we wouldn't have time to look at this morning. But the golden image that this man set up was an image of himself, an image of man, like Romans 1 says, that man, they made corruptible. Let me read it to you. I'm going to go over there. I don't want to misquote it. But in Romans 1, he says that man changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. The first thing is, like corruptible man. You know it's so, don't you? Man worships himself. Man worships the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen? And so God gave them up, it says, to vile affection, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But Nebuchadnezzar made this image, and man has this image of man that he sets up as some kind of God, will worship, and so forth. There were these three Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 6. And how significant is it that the world today doesn't know their real names? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Their names have the name of God in them. They're the children of God, and they bear the name of God. They're the tribe of Judah. They all have meanings. But the Chaldeans, they gave them names that they liked. And the world may call you names. But we're the sons of God. Though the world doesn't know us, it didn't know him either, did it? Our Lord has a name that no man knows except he to whom he will reveal in Revelation 19. You know that? And, you know, their names are written right here in the book. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Right there it is. But nobody calls them that. Everybody calls them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's that mean? Nothing. Nothing. They meant nothing to the world. Neither do God's people mean anything to the world. They mean something to God. They bear His name. Our Lord in Revelation 19 has a name that no man knew except He to him whom He would reveal it. And it goes on, the next verse after that, it tells His name. The Word of God. This is His name. The Word of God. Does that sound like any passage to you, Helen? Hope? In the beginning was the Word. That's His name. And He's all through the book. We see Him, don't we? We see His face. We see His glory. We see His name. We see He's here in Daniel. Very clearly. But God has hid these things to the world and revealed them unto them. Well, these three Hebrew children, and their names are Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, but I call them called, the chosen, and the faithful. Revelation 19:17, it talks about those that are with Him. Daniel's a type of Christ. And those that were with Him were called, chosen, and faithful. That's these men. Well, a raging king. This king raged against them. He raged against them. Chapter 3, verse 16. Now, you know the story. The king made a command, a law. This man set forth a law now. You're going to worship the way I tell you to worship. That's what this king did now. It's the law of the land. You're going to worship the way I tell you to worship. You're not going to worship the way God's word tells you to. That's what this man said. You're not going to do it. You're going to do what I tell you. I'm the king. What did these three fellows say? We don't have to stop and think about this. That's what they said in chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We'll stop and think about this. We'll do your civil laws. They were law-abiding people according to the laws of the land, civil law. But when it comes to the worship of God and the laws of God, you're not going to tell us what to do. We're going to do exactly what God tells us to do." Right? Nothing's changed. Everybody in that land feared to not do what that king told them to do. And they all got together. And it sounded like some Pentecostal meeting that when you hear the sackbut, the flute, and the psalter, and everybody singing and dancing, all this get together, we're going to worship the image, man, our will, our works. No. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael said, no, we're not doing it. We're not going to do it. He said, verse 17, if God, our God whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and they said, He's able to deliver us, but if He doesn't, if we perish in the furnace, they said, He's going to deliver us from you. If we die, that's even better. Yeah. We're through with you and this world. Is that the way you feel? And we're going to see in a minute how they got through this. How did they get through this? Somebody was with them. In verse 18, "But be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Charles Spurgeon said years ago, he said the word that is now used as like a curse word, by God. You hear people say that? By God. That started by people quoting these three Hebrews saying, by God's grace, we won't do it. They were called by gods. That's me. How about you? By God's mercy and grace, we will not bow down to this religion, the religion of the day. We will not. By God's grace, we'll serve Him. That's good. Like everything else, people abused by God. That's something. Well, so the king threw them into the fiery furnace. Look at verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar is full of fury, so is the God of this world. And he heated the furnace 7 times hotter. And he commanded his men, threw them in with their coats on, their hosen and their hats, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Says that every time. Says the burning fiery furnace. The burning fiery furnace. And the very men that threw him in were burned by the, were consumed by the fire. So will all those who hate Christ and his people. But the king came to the mouth of the furnace. In verse 24, he was astonished. And he said, didn't we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose. They're not bound. They're loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Isn't that something? Don't you love? We're going to sing How Firm a Foundation in a little bit. It says in Isaiah 43, fear not, O Israel, Jacob. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And the flame won't even kindle upon you. These men came out as they went in, complete and whole. Not a hair of their head was singed. And didn't Peter say over in the Gospel of Peter, he said, the trial of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, is going to be tried with fire. But it's going to be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these men, why did they believe God? Because God revealed him, Christ revealed himself to them. How did they get through this fiery trap? Because Christ was with them. How do God's people go through these things? Because Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. He went through it, Margaret. He went through it. See, these 3 men came out untouched. He stayed in. That's how they came out. Because Christ stayed in. But he wasn't concerned, was he? He wasn't concerned. That's Christ crucified. That's the burning bush. That's Christ in the furnace. He's everything and he's all. All right, look at Christ in the lion's den. By the way, and we brought this out last time, Daniel 3 is the furnace. Daniel 6 is the lion's den. Daniel 9 is the promise, the prophecy of Christ making an end of sin, reconciliation, and so forth. Christ began to be crucified on the 3rd hour. He hung on the cross from the 6th hour to the 9th hour. The 6th hour is when darkness came over all the land. That's when he's facing the lion, like in chapter 6. In the 9th hour, he said, it's finished. That's Daniel 9. He's going to end this thing. Make it finish the transgression. Who wrote this book? That made me shiver. Tremble, but a good way. But a good way. Now, chapter 4 is a chapter of a proud king, a prince brought down, and that's Isaiah 14, that's Luke 10, our Lord said, I beheld Satan cast down. Revelation 12, an angel took hold of the dragon and cast him into the earth. That's Christ, and that's Satan. It's all a picture Christ. Chapter 5 is the writing of a man's fingers on the wall. You know, speaks three times of a man writing with fingers. And every time it's Christ who wrote the law. The finger of God wrote the law. And then here in Daniel, he wrote the finger. Many tekels sepharthin, he weighed and the balance is found on it. And then when Christ stooped down on the ground with his finger, what did he write? Same thing. He weighed and the balance is found on it. Well, that's chapter 5. And in chapter 6, Darius is here, Daniel chapter 6. He throws Daniel in the lion's den. Darius is not a man's name, it's a title. It's like a heathen ruler, like Pharaoh. Wasn't his name, it's his title, Caesar. There are many Caesars, and President of the United States. It doesn't matter who it is. The king's heart's in the hands of the Lord. Doesn't matter who's in office. He's doing the Lord's bidding. So he's Darius. And Darius had Daniel thrown in a lion's den. Who did? Who put Christ on the cross? Who sent Christ to face that Satan, who's like a roaring lion, who put him there? God did. He had Pharaoh. He had Herod do it. He had Pilate do it. God did it. Like Darius. And look at verse 1 through 3. Please Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. Verse 2. And over these three presidents, Daniel was first. Daniel, verse 3, was preferred. So there were princes and rulers and presidents, and who's over all of them? Daniel. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns and rules over all. Are you concerned about the next election? Don't be. I know who's going to reign, who's going to be president, whoever God says will be president. But that gives us peace, doesn't it? But Darius, he was a hireling, like most men are. And these other men conspired against Daniel. In verse 4, presidents sought occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find no fault in him. They found no fault in Daniel. So said, we'll bring up something. The only way we can get him is concerning the law of his God. So we'll make a law again, like chapter 3, the 3 Hebrew. We'll make a law that you can't worship God the way you're supposed to. That you're going to worship the way we say. You know, back in Scotland, 1600s, 1662 was it? Scotland was full of grace preachers. You know that? Great preachers. True preachers. And the government made a law. The government was under the control of Roman Catholicism. And the Church of England was right there with them. Corrupt. And they made a law that everyone had to sign a covenant saying that they would worship, the preachers would worship and do things exactly like the government of England and Scotland declared, the king declared them, you must worship, you must sign this agreement, this covenant, or you can't preach anymore. Right, Ed? It's called the dissenters, covenant men of Scotland, covenanters. 2,000 preachers were kicked out of their churches and told not you're not to preach ever again, because they would not sign this government mandate and ordinance and law that says you can't preach any way you want to. You can't worship it. You're going to do what we say. 2,000 preachers were kicked out. Man, I have a book of their farewell sermons. Woo! Man, you never heard better preaching in your life. One of them I preached here. It was like when Eli trembled for the ark. When the ark was taken, Eli trembled. And this one man said, we ought to be trembling. God takes the gospel from us. we ought to be shaken. But anyway, Daniel, like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, said, I'm not going to do that. He opened his window. You're not to pray, you're not to sing, you're not to gather together. He opened his window so everybody could hear. And he started praying, as always. Well, the king got angry, and the men came, and they got Daniel, and they threw him in the lion's den. Verse 16, the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And verse 17, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. Cast him into the den of lions and rolled a stone across the door. Didn't our Lord say that through Peter of Satan as a roaring lion? He said to Peter first, Satan desires to sift you. And he said, I pray for you. I'm praying for you. That your faith fail not. What's his faith, John? It's Christ's. He didn't fail. He shall not fail. And our Lord faced him. He told his disciples right before he went to the cross. He said, the God of this world has come. The prince of the power of the air has come. He's not going to find anything in me. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Now I'm going to deal with this lion on your behalf. I'm going into the den with the lion. The Lord God threw him into hell itself. He died under the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and went through hell on the Calvary's cross, and they took him down from the cross, and they buried him, and they rolled a stone across that door. But like Daniel, he came out. Came out. The king rose up in the morning, verse 19, in haste, went to the den of lions, and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel. You mean, Daniel, somebody was in there with you? That's right. And he had his hand over those lions' mouth the whole time. Had those lions right there at his feet like puppy dogs. Don't you move. Don't you touch him. You've read Pilgrim's Progress, I know. You know how when the pilgrim was going on the straight and narrow path, and he looked ahead, and there were two lions. You remember that? Roaring. He could hear them roaring. And the closer he got, he could feel their hot breath. You know, he could hear them roaring. He was trembling. And the closer he got, he saw they were on chains. They could only come so far. All he could do was roar at him, breathe hard. And he walked right past them. Why is that? Because our Lord is with you. He's with us. Well, let's go on. And chapter 7 is all about beasts and kingdoms. Chapter 8 is visions of corrupt religion. Oh my, the corruption that is religion. Daniel's prayer in chapter 9. Is all because of the corruption throughout the world. And he prayed for his people. What a prayer, Daniel 9. What a prayer our Lord prayed on in John 17 for his people. And then chapter 9, oh my, this is Christ in prophecy. This is a prophecy. Daniel's prophecy, verse 18. O God, incline thine ear. This is his prayer. He said in verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. That'd be a good prayer, wouldn't it? Real short one. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and do. And then down in verse 22, the angel of the Lord came to Daniel and said, Daniel, I've come forth to give thee skill and understanding at the beginning of thy supplication. That commandment came forth. God heard him. And our Lord is always heard by the Father, wasn't he? He said at Lazarus' tomb, he said to the Father, I know that thou hearest me always, but for their sake I said this. And we have that blessed prayer in John 17. The Lord heard him. And verse 23, here's the prophecy. I'm here to show you thou art greatly beloved. Now understand the matter and consider the vision. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city. Here it is. Here's Christ crucified, buried, and risen. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and anoint the most holy. That's Christ, isn't it? Prophecy. And he went on to say, verse, read it with me. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince. And he gives these times that were exactly fulfilled when Christ came and was crucified in troublous time. And verse 26, after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, not for himself. Our Lord was forsaken of God. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Well, Christ was. Why? Well, God made him to be sin. And he forsook him. He made us righteous. And he'll never forsake us. He said, from that time, he said, the prince is going to come and destroy the city and the sanctuary and be a flood of ungodliness and iniquity and the desolation. These desolations are determined. And in the gospel it says, he who reads this understand the abomination of desolation. What's that? Corrupt religion. They quit sacrificing lamb. Christ did that, you know. He stopped that when he was crucified. He stopped all sacrificial lambs and all that. And they don't do it today. The Jews don't do it. They didn't do it back then. Why? Christ put an end to that. But wherever there's not a lamb being slain, wherever there's not blood shed for the remission of sin, it's an abominable religion. It's abomination. If the lamb is not being slain in the temple, if the blood's not on the mercy seat, it's corrupt religion. It's desolate. Ichabod, right Ichabod over the door. The glory is departed. That's religion worldwide. That's the Jews. That's Gentiles. That's all but some favored Hebrew children of the tribe of Judah. Us, the called children, the faith. We know we have to have a lamb, don't we? Every time we get together in the temple, we have a sacrificial lamb. We preach the blood. Not so in religion. It's abominable to God. Abominable with all of its idols and all that. Well, chapter 10, 11 and 12, that more about the kingdom, the kingdoms that come. Chapter 12, I want to close with this. This is wonderful. This is the end of it. We made it. Made it all the way through Daniel. You know what we did? We touched our toe in the ocean. We waded ankle deep in the fullness of the gospel. Daniel 12, it says, he said to Daniel, verse 9, go thy way, Daniel. Go thy way. The words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white. Who's that? God's people. How? By the blood of Christ. How? Going through the fire. Thy dross to consume, thy gold to refine. Like 3, Hebrews. And tried. They're going to be purified, made white. It's going to be tried. Trial of your faith. It will be tried with fire. But the wicked, you're going to do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand. Are you reading it with me? This is amazing. This is thousands of years ago. It's now. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. It's plain as a nose on your face, but they don't understand. The wise shall understand. Why? How? Come. Because 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, He has made unto us wisdom. That's how we understand. He's given us an understanding. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding. Paul told the Corinthians, you understand all things. All things? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Three words. I can sum up all things in three words. All the mystery of God, the will of God, the word of God, the purpose of God, eternity of God. Three words. Christ is all. That's it. And then it goes on to say, read this. It said, from the time, verse 11, of the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination that maketh desolate set up be 1,290 days. And don't ask me later what that means, because I don't know and nobody else does either. Okay? But I do know this. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here. We're waiting. On what? The Lord to come back. He's coming. We've come to him. Go your way, Daniel. He said, go thy way till the end be. Where did he go? Back to his job. Back out in the world, you know, to do what he's called to do. And all that. And he said, but you're going to rest, Daniel. Thou shalt rest. And when it's all over, you're going to stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And we, like Daniel, can say, the lot, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. The lot is cast in the lap. Oh, aren't you glad? The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So wait, you'll see. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay.